Hey, everyone. Unfortunately, I can't share my name with you. You will soon understand why. I'm 16 years old. I used to go to high school, but I had to put my education on hold because my family had to disappear. Yes, you heard that right. I said disappear. We went through something you might have seen in the movies. I'm going to tell you the whole story. One day, if you need to disappear, what you learn from my story might turn out to be useful. My dad had been working as the accounting manager of a construction company for 2.5 years. One morning, the company's general manager called him. The boss's men are going to stop by the office. Cooperate with them, he said. Before long, 5 people showed up. All of them were dressed in black suits. They wore their sunglasses, even indoors, as if they didn't want to be recognized. The men wanted to know which cabinets the accounting records were kept in. So my dad showed them. They took out all the records and started putting them through the shredder. My dad was shocked, and he asked them why they were doing that. One of the men said, pointing to his gun, "Things will get ugly here if you ask another question." Needless to say, my dad and his co-workers were really scared. The boss's men left the office after destroying the documents. My dad tried calling the general manager but couldn't reach him. A few hours later, he got a call from a friend of his. This person worked in the company headquarters. "We're in trouble. Apparently our employer is a mafia boss. He has been laundering money he made illegally through our company. There will be a major police operation. Get out of there fast," he said. When my dad said, "What did we do wrong?" his friend said, "We didn't know anything. Like me, you are an executive in this company. The police will treat us as accomplices. We'll spend years in jail if we get caught." I remember that day very clearly. Dad came home in a hurry. He told my mom and me what had happened. I was so scared I started crying. Dad said, "I watched a video on YouTube about a secret agent. He started a company after he retired. With the experience he had from his time as an agent, he was helping people in trouble. I talked to him on the phone and hired him." My mom said, "But how is he going to help us?" Dad replied, "He will help us do what we need. He will make us disappear." I didn't get it. "What do you mean?" I said. Dad said, "On my way home, I took out all of our money from the bank. We will change everything and start a new life someplace where no one can find us. We were going to do whatever the retired agent would tell us to do." Dad got rid of his phone number and bought a prepaid SIM card. The man he hired would communicate with us through this new number. The operation began with the first text message. First thing, the agent wanted us to change our looks. Mom dyed her hair blonde. Dad completely shaved his head. I had to cut my hair, which I'd been growing out carefully for years. I couldn't hold back my tears while it was being cut. The next step was to delete all of our social media accounts, one by one. We took out and broke the SIM cards from our phones. Dad took photos of us in front of a white wall and sent them to the agent. These photos would be used in our fake IDs. We were doing all this on autopilot. We weren't questioning anything. The retired agent kept sending text messages to my dad's phone. Dad was reading them out loud, and we were immediately doing what we were told. Obviously, we weren't able to use Dad's car. The agent rented a car for us and parked it in a spot that was a 20-minute walk away from our home. We weren't supposed to take suitcases with us in case somebody figured out we were leaving town. There was a chance our house was being watched by the police or the mafia. We were running away from both. We left home separately. Dad went to where the rental car was parked. Then he would pick up Mom, who was waiting in front of a shopping mall. I was waiting for them at a bus stop. They arrived half an hour later. The agent hadn't yet told us where we were going. As we were waiting anxiously, my dad got a text message. West. So now we just knew the general direction where we had to go. We were in such a weird mood that we didn't even talk to each other, as if someone was listening in. I think we had put ourselves in survival mode. We did what we had to do, only when and to the degree it was necessary. That included talking, too. As we were driving on the highway, I noticed my dad checking the rearview mirror often. We were all very nervous, but from what I could see, my dad was the most nervous of the three of us. He had even started sweating. I couldn't stop myself from asking him, "Dad, are we being followed?" Dad said, "Don't look back. There's a white car following us. It slows down as we slow down, and goes faster as we go faster." This was exactly what we were afraid of. They had found us. My mom asked in an anxious tone, "What are we going to do?" My dad said, "I'll get off the highway." He took the first exit he saw. Soon after that, my dad got a new text. When you're being followed, the best thing to do is to stay on a busy road. You are now going towards somewhere quiet. Your followers can do anything they want to you there. Thankfully, no one is following you. I'm the car you're scared of. Stop after half a mile. You will see a cornfield at 9 o'clock. Get out of the car and walk into the field. That's how we met the agent that saved our family. His name was Adams. To be honest, he didn't look like the spy I had in mind. I was expecting someone good-looking like James Bond. He wasn't even charismatic. On the other hand, Mr. Adams was an experienced agent who worked in the Secret Service for 35 years. It was thanks to him that we were going to get out of the trouble we found ourselves in. Mr. Adams gave us our fake IDs. All our names had been changed, both first and last. Coincidentally, the name he gave me was the same as my best friend's. I was so happy for this coincidence. My mom didn't like her new name at all, but there was nothing she could do about it. Our agent told us, "Memorize everything that's on your IDs. From now on, refer to each other using your new names even when you're alone. This is how you can adapt to your new life." As we got back on the road again, we were feeling a little better. My dad was teasing my mom, repeating her new name over and over again. In the meantime, we found out where we were going. Mr. Adams had rented a mountain lodge for us, but we didn't know how long we were going to stay there or where we would be going next. Again, he was going to tell us what to do. This might sound strange to you, but I started kind of liking our new life of adventure. Yes, our world was completely upside down. I was separated from my friends. We were in a rental car driving to some place we knew nothing about. Our future was uncertain, but I still liked this dynamic lifestyle. It felt like I was in a movie, and I was curious about how it was going to end. Mr. Adams is perfect at what he does. He planned the course of our lives in an incredible way. We owe him a lot. It's been 10 months since the first time we held our new IDs in our hands. So do we know now how this movie ends? I think so. Is it a happy ending? I'm not so sure. I'll keep telling you what we went through and you can make up your own mind. The mountain lodge we went to had a TV. That's how we could follow the news. The name of the company my dad worked for was frequently mentioned in the news. Turned out it was run by a big crime family. They started these kinds of companies to launder the money they made illegally. My dad was even more scared when he realized what a big deal this whole thing was. The boss's men had destroyed all the accounting books in the office. But my dad still knew a lot about the operations of the company. That's why the crime family might have been scared that my dad would testify against them. Maybe they were looking for him everywhere to stop him from doing that. I'm sure you can guess what they would do to him once they found him. After the mountain lodge, Agent Adams got us a small ranch house. We were living in isolation again. My dad went to a different grocery store every time and paid for everything in cash. We were not allowed to get online. I was reading all day. My mom was sewing. We could live somehow, but my dad was not happy at all. We couldn't move around with fake IDs running away forever. I had to stop going to school. And most importantly, we were running out of money. Soon my dad would need to get a new job. And that wasn't safe at all. Dad met with Mr. Adams to talk about these issues. They discussed at length what they could do. They finally decided the right thing to do would be going to the police and telling them everything. When my dad told us the plan, we were against it, but he wasn't going to listen to us. I stayed with my mom at the ranch. My dad left with Mr. Adams the next morning. According to what Dad told us later, the police were really nice to him. They told him that if he were to testify against this family, they would put him and his family, that is us, under the Witness Protection Program. Dad didn't have any other choice, otherwise he would have gone to jail. That's why he took their offer. His testimony was a major part of the trial, and most members of the crime family ended up going to jail. Under the Witness Protection Program, we changed our lives yet again. This time, it was government officials who were doing similar things to what Mr. Adams had done for us. But of course, theirs was so much more comprehensive. We had new IDs with different names. This time, they weren't fake, and my mom picked a name that she liked for herself. They got us a house in a very small town in another part of the country. They started paying my dad a salary that was enough for us to live on, and he will also be able to receive financial assistance when he wants to start his own business. The Witness Protection Program included an option to change your face through plastic surgery. However, we didn't want to go that far. Though afterward, my mom thought, maybe I should have used this as an excuse to get my nose fixed, but it was too late. In the meantime, we made up a simple family story. We repeated it every chance we got to be able to learn it by heart, so we would all be talking about the same things. According to the story, we were tired of city life. We wanted to lead a quiet life in a small town. Thanks so much for listening to me. If you like similar real-life stories, you can subscribe to this channel now, so you will be the first to know when a new video comes out. Bye!
Hi everyone! My name is Alex. If you have an attic in your house, you might look at it differently after the story I'm about to tell you. I've always had a thing for horror movies. Even when I was a kid, I used to secretly watch horror movies after my parents went to bed. Of course, I would have trouble sleeping afterwards. The ones that got me the most were the haunted house movies. I would even feel sad because we lived in an apartment. I thought, I wish we lived in a house. Then maybe we would have stuff like this happening in our house too. Years later, my wish came true, and I came to realize it wasn't something to wish for. It had only been a few weeks since we moved into our current house. We started living in a single-family home just like I'd been dreaming of, but I wasn't expecting scary things to happen, because I was old enough to know haunted house stories weren't real. Around that time, my parents won an amazing vacation in a charity raffle. They were going on a luxury cruise that would take them to 15 countries. This vacation was the big prize in the raffle. Normally, my folks could never have gone on an expensive trip like this. Still, they were hesitant at first. They only won 2 tickets. I wouldn't be able to go with them. To convince my parents to go, I told them, I'm 17 now. I'm starting college next year. You need to learn to trust me. You have to accept that I'm a grown-up now. They agreed with me. So this is how I got to stay home alone for so long for the first time in my life. By the way, our house has 3 floors. The top floor is the attic. My room is below it. It has that little hatch in the ceiling which you open to go up into the attic. I had no idea what the attic even looked like. I'd never gone up there since there was no ladder. It was the evening after my parents had left. I'd gotten up really early to say goodbye to them, so I fell asleep even before eating dinner. I woke up hungry in the middle of the night. Just as I was thinking, I need to get up and get a snack, I heard some noises coming from the ceiling, or rather from the attic. It sounded like someone was walking, but I couldn't really tell because I was still half asleep. I listened closely. Yes, someone was definitely walking. Then I heard another noise. It was as if something was being dragged across the floor. I was super scared. Next came something like the sound of a small chain jangling. I jumped out of bed and ran downstairs. Could this house be haunted? I knew it was a ridiculous thought, but it was the only thing on my mind as I was running. After I made it downstairs, I held my breath and listened again. I couldn't hear anything from there. It was too far away. I thought, should I call the police? But this was a very old house. It could be a big mouse up there, or even the sound of the floorboards expanding. If the cops came and they couldn't find anything, and then my parents found out about this, they would say, we thought you were a grown-up. You heard sounds and called the police on your first night. And they wouldn't trust me again. I decided not to call the police, but because I was nervous, I couldn't get any sleep. I sat listening to what was going on upstairs. How would I spend 15 days alone in this house? I was working part-time in a store to keep myself busy during the summer break. I got off work at 4 p.m. When I came home, I decided to climb up into the attic to check out if anything weird was going on. But how was I supposed to get up there? Did we have a ladder? Yes, we did. I found a small ladder in the garage. I brought it to my room. It was tall enough for me to reach the ceiling. I opened the hatch. I climbed up and looked inside. It was the first time I was seeing the attic. It looked like my parents had never gotten up there either. Everything was covered in dust. There were untouched spider webs everywhere. I couldn't see too far into it since it was darker in the corners. I turned on my phone's flashlight and held it there. There was no trace of a human being having been up here last night. I figured I probably wasn't fully awake and thought the sounds in my dream were real. I was so relieved after seeing the attic, it was pointless to worry now. I even watched a horror movie to prove to myself that I wasn't scared, and I went to sleep after finishing the movie. I slept like a baby all night. When I woke up in the morning, the only thing I thought of was, what am I having for breakfast? I spent the following day without any problems. My concerns about the attic had completely vanished. That is, I thought they had. I wasn't working on the weekends. I woke up pretty late that Saturday. When I went into the bathroom, I noticed the light was on. I was thinking, I must have left it on, when I saw a shiny ring on the floor. Where did it come from? I picked it up. It looked very expensive. There was no way a ring this expensive could have been my mom's. Suddenly, I felt my blood curdle. I thought it had been a guy, but what if it had been a woman in the attic that night? Did she come back while I was asleep and walked around the house this time? But the only way to the attic is through my room. It would have been impossible for someone to get in or out without waking me up. I couldn't think of a reasonable explanation at that moment. All I could say was, this doesn't make any sense. There was nothing to steal here, but I still quickly checked the house. Everything seemed in its place. Or was I completely wrong? Could it be that someone came to visit my mom and dropped their ring? But I'd been using that bathroom for the past week. Surely I would have seen a ring this big. I wasn't able to figure it out yet, but there was something going on. I made a plan, but it wasn't something I could pull off on my own. I called my best friends, Luke and Matt. I told them it was something very important and asked them to come over for the night. When they came, I told them all about what had happened. Matt had a relative who worked at a jewelry shop. He took a picture of the ring and sent it to her. She told him, I'd need to see it in person, but it looks like a diamond ring expensive enough to cover your and your sister's college tuition. Luke had made fun of me at first, but after hearing that, he was also convinced that something weird was going on. We waited until it got really late. Then we started executing our plan. I have a small tripod. I started a live stream from the YouTube app on my phone. I set up the phone on the tripod. I climbed up the ladder and opened the hatch. I placed the tripod with the phone attached to it on the floor of the attic. There was no lamp in the attic, but the moonlight coming in through the roof provided enough light. Next came the second phase of the plan. We went down into the basement just in case. We started watching the live stream from my laptop. More than an hour passed. We were glued to the screen, but nothing was happening. We all got tired and sleepy from staring at the nothingness. I had to find a solution. I thought we could stay awake if we played a board game. I went up to my room. Just as I was picking up the game, I heard a noise from the attic. I held my breath and listened. It wasn't as clear as it was that first night, but there was definitely some kind of movement up there. I left the game there and ran to my friends in a panic. When I got downstairs, I saw that they were both sitting with their eyes closed. They had fallen asleep. I said, "Wake up! There's someone in the attic," trying to keep my voice down. We all looked at the screen at the same time. We all saw it. A shadow was moving in the attic. It wasn't close to the hatch. It was further away. Luke said, "This doesn't look like a woman." But the attic was so dark, it was impossible to tell for sure. It was time for phase three of the plan. Calling 911. We couldn't look away from the screen. We weren't scared because there were three of us, but could this man or woman be armed? I nodded toward the front yard. "Let's call them from outside," I said. "If anything happened, it will be easier to run away." There was a police station nearby. A few minutes after we called 911, we were in the front yard, staring at the screen with two cops. They were also sure there was someone in the attic now. They debated whether to ask for backup. One of the cops said, "We could lose them while waiting for backup." They turned on their flashlights. They went into the house very carefully. We were very excited to be watching it all live via YouTube. We were expecting an operation like in the movies, but it didn't turn out that way. We'd left the ladder we used to go up into the attic there. The cops used it to climb up. On the screen, we first saw the light from the flashlight and then the head of one of the cops. The attic was now fully lit. Right in the corner, a man stood completely frozen. There was a bag in front of him. The officer yelled, "Police, sit down where you are. Put your hands above your head." The man did as he was told without saying a word. So, who was the man in the attic? And more importantly, what was he doing up there? According to the police, this man was the most brilliant thief in town. He only broke into rich people's houses and stole only jewelry. His sister had lived in our house about 10 years ago. Whenever he came to visit her, he climbed the tree next to the house to get into the attic. He made a secret compartment inside a wall. He was keeping some of the jewelry he stole in there. One day when he decided to stop being a thief, he was planning to sell his hidden jewelry stash and start a new life in another country. However, he got caught in a wealthy person's house in the middle of a burglary. He had been in jail for years. He finished serving his sentence the previous week. The first thing he did after being released from prison was visit his hiding place, which is our attic. This guy was taking some of the jewelry from the attic and selling it piece by piece. If he sold it all at the same time, the mafia would have heard about it since it was stolen. As you might have guessed, the ring I found in the bathroom was his too. That night when he came to pick up jewelry, he had to use the toilet really badly. The guy is the smartest thief in town. He spent his whole life breaking into other people's homes, so he was really comfortable entering our house from the attic and using our bathroom. He must have dropped the ring as he was pulling up his pants. I didn't want to upset my parents, so I told them everything only after they came back. Naturally, they were really shocked, but they were more upset that I had to go through this while they were away. They vowed not to leave me home alone ever again.
Hi, friends. My name is Linda. I'm 17 years old. My parents adopted me when I was a baby. I grew up in a warm, loving home, getting everything I needed. They never made me feel like I was adopted. I was never curious about my biological mother and father. I wonder if I had searched for them, would I have found out that I had a twin sister? I'm not sure, but thankfully, fate brought us together after 16 years. It was thanks to an amazing coincidence that I found out about my twin sister's existence. My parents decided to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary with a big party. I hate wearing dresses. My mom knows this, so she said, "This celebration is really important to us. Please, no t-shirt and jeans. Get yourself a dress and be the prettiest girl at the party." I couldn't say no, but I'd never bought myself an evening dress before. I didn't even know where to shop for one. After school, I Googled it and found a store. It was pretty far from where we lived, but of course, I was going to go to make my mom happy. When I walked into the store, I went up to the first salesperson I saw. "Where are your evening dresses?" I asked. When she looked at me, we both froze. Looking at her face was like looking in the mirror. The resemblance was too much. The first thing I could say was, "Are you adopted?" "Yes," she said. "Were you born on March 13th? I asked. When she nodded, I hugged her tight without even thinking. I had a sister now, a twin sister. I left the store with a dress she chose for me. I waited for her to get off work at a nearby cafe. When she arrived, she began to cry, saying, "It's a miracle. I still can't believe this." I was practically looking at myself in the mirror. Just like me, she was always sniffling as she cried. When Rosa calmed down, I asked her, "Since you're working on a school day, did you quit school?" She did. Her mom said, "You won't be going to college anyway. Start working as soon as you can, so you can contribute," she said. According to my sister, her family didn't really need the money. Her mother did this out of spite because she'd been treating Rosa like this for a long time. I got so mad as I listened to my sister's story. At the time her parents adopted Rosa, they hadn't been able to conceive. But 8 years later, her mother got pregnant and had a boy. After her son was born, she started pushing Rosa away and treating her badly. What's worse, her father tolerated this. He never took issue with what his wife did. By the way, I keep saying her mother, but Rosa always refers to her as my stepmother. This is to be expected because, from what I gather, my twin sister has been living like Cinderella all these years. She had to quit high school during her freshman year. She had been working 6 days a week, and at night she had to do all the housework. When she said in passing, "Some nights I'm so tired I can't sleep," I found myself tearing up. I was getting more shocked as she was telling her story. Her mother gave her room to her son. They put her bed in the basement. Rosa had been sleeping there for years. They wouldn't even let her eat with them at the table. She had to eat by herself in the basement. I couldn't stay quiet any longer. "That's enough. First, I'll teach this woman a lesson, and then I'm going to get you out of that house," I said. Unfortunately, after being abused for years, my sister had lost all her courage. Unlike her, I'm someone who stands up for myself no matter what and doesn't walk away from a fight. Now I would fight for my sister. I said to Rosa, "Tell me everything about that woman, your father, your house, your life. I will tell you about my family. Let's write it all down. Oh. We need to know everything. Then we'll switch our clothes in the bathroom." Rosa gave me an incredulous look. I winked at her. "Sis, can't you see? We'll switch our lives for a while. You'll go to my house, and I'll go to yours. We'll tell my parents everything after we teach that woman a lesson. They'll find a way." My sister began laughing. Even though she was terrified, she was really into the idea. 2 hours later, I was in front of Rosa's house wearing her clothes. I opened the door with her keys. I memorized the floor plan on my way there. The door that went down to the basement was right next to the bathroom. I heard her mother's voice as I was walking that way. Rosa, why are you late? Didn't I tell you to come right home after you leave work? I stopped. I walked towards the voice. I came to the living room. A woman was sitting on the couch, staring at the phone in her hand. I was hanging out with a friend. By the way, keep in mind that from now on, I will come home whenever I want to. She lifted her head in disbelief. It was obvious that she had never heard anything like this from Rosa. How dare you talk to me like that, she said. Her puzzled expression was exactly what I wanted to see. Whatever, I'm so tired, I'm taking a shower and going to bed early, I said. She was shocked. Rosa, what are you, crazy? Showering? Going to bed? You have so much work to do. First, do the laundry, then go upstairs and clean the bedroom, she screamed. I didn't answer, I just smiled. I turned around and walked out. She kept screaming from where she was sitting. I was going to see my poor sister's bed in the basement. The basement had a terribly musty smell. I gagged a few times before I could get used to it. I sat on the bed. I held back my tears as I looked around. My poor sister was sleeping here. I was so relieved to think that at this moment she was in my house, probably in my room. My mom must have come to my room like she does every night and started telling her the office gossip as she played with her hair, and Rosa must be listening to her, giggling occasionally, just like I taught her to do. Suddenly, I felt something crashing into my feet. I pulled up my legs in fear. I was horrified when I saw what hit me. I could never in a million years guess a sewer rat could be that big. Wasn't this dangerous for my sister? How can a person sleep here? More importantly, how can these parents who have taken and raised this child from the time she was a baby allow her to sleep in such a horrible place? I still couldn't wrap my mind around it. After a while, the basement door opened. Someone started coming down the stairs. I saw that it was Rosa's father. When he saw me, he said, "Rosa, what did you say to your mom?" She was so angry that she got a headache. I jumped up. I walked up to him. He was a submissive character, as his wife was dominant. "Do you realize that you refer to her as my mother? If she was really my mother, would she allow me to sleep in this place?" I said. "What's wrong with this place?" he stuttered. "There are rats as big as cats," I screamed. "And you were covering your nose as you were coming down here. This is a basement. This place would make a person sick." The man turned back towards the stairs without saying anything. Just then, the basement door opened. This time, it was Rosa's stepmother who came in. Her husband said, "Something's up with her. She's complaining about the place she's been sleeping in for years." She slammed the door, saying, "Then let her stay here until she comes to her senses." After that, I heard the basement door getting locked. I didn't care. I could get that door open whenever I wanted. I took out my phone. I wrote, "Did you like my room?" and sent it to my sister. Rosa's answer took me by surprise. "Linda, we're coming to get you. It was supposed to be a surprise, but I had to tell you when I saw your text." They were coming to get me? But why? I was having so much fun here, and I wanted to have even more fun. When I wrote to Rosa, "Have my parents figured out you weren't me?" she immediately wrote back, "Your mother is very smart. I really played my part well, but still, she was suspicious. She wanted me to wear the dress you bought for the party. I put it on and went to her. When she saw me walking, she said, 'You're not Linda. You're way too comfortable in this dress. Linda would be complaining about it.' So I had to tell her everything. Half an hour later, the basement door opened. Rosa, my mom, and a woman I didn't know came down the stairs. They brought along someone from social services. Apparently, when an adopted child quits school, the Department of Social Services needs to be notified. Plus, the place where Rosa was sleeping and the way she had been treated were obviously not in compliance with adoption rules, in which case the child needed to be taken away. When Rosa's stepmother saw me and Rosa together, she got this blank look in her eyes. And when she figured it all out, she fainted. Her stepfather sat quietly in a corner without saying a word. When she came to, I brought Rosa over to her. I told her, "If there's anything you want to say, you should say it now." She looked at her stepmother. "My biggest mistake was being scared of you, but I'm not scared anymore. I just pity you," she said. Her stepmother said, I'm sorry. I separated you. And this came back to our house as a curse. I deserved it. We were all shocked. When she admitted that, we knew how we were separated from each other. She and her husband knew we were twins. They only took Rosa because they wanted an only child. They bribed the social worker working their case to keep quiet. My parents came a few days later and adopted me without knowing I had a twin sister. So what happened next? Like I said earlier, the Department of Social Services removed Rosa from that family. The next day, my dad went to the department and asked to adopt Rosa. Because we were twins, that was what they wanted too. That night, Rosa and I were in my room. The next evening, my parents had their 25th anniversary party. Rosa attended the party in the dress I bought that day. And I wore a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, just like I wanted. So Rosa was the prettiest girl that night. And this made me really happy. Because my only goal in life from now on is to see a smile on my sister's face. Meanwhile, Rosa went back to school. We made a decision together. We are going to law school to become lawyer twins in the future. Thank you for listening to my story. If you subscribe to this channel, you'll be the first to know when new videos are uploaded. Bye!